Podmoth.
If you're easily offended, this show may not be for you.
But if you're into that weird fun sh**, you've come to the right place.
You've been warned.
Are you there?
I'm Chris. I'm the believer.
I'm Cody. I'm the skeptic. Okay, stories. Let's get into it.
Hello! Welcome to BSP, Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots, one especially, debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we're an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast and proud members of the Podmoth Network.
And this is a full episode.
Yes,
I'm actually tempted to leave the beginning. I hit record too early. And so you can hear me going, oh, shit. So maybe I'll leave that in for an Easter egg or something.
Yeah, we're all a little discombobulated. First of all, this episode should have been recorded last week, but Cody was out of town and we couldn't do that. So we're doing it the day before
yes.
releases. And on top of that, we were out all weekend for Cody's birthday. So he's like 90 years old now.
Oh, man. The jokes this weekend. The ancient jokes. And I feel 90 years old right now because with Mexico and everything, I am now caught a cold or something. So
it is
bear
also,
with me because I feel like shit.
So, like, respect your gay elders day. So.
And whenever he sent me a meme, I didn't actually see the word elders. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Like, he sent me this nice LGBT day meme. And then I read it and I was like, fuck you.
So,
oh my god.
Anyway, should we get to the content of our show?
So for a full episode, we pick a paranormal cock. I don't know.
Cock.
Paranormal subject, and we're going to present you some fun information and stories, and then we'll get into our believer skeptic aspect. And I have to give Chris props for this episode. So do you want me to announce the topic?
Sure. And then we'll get into as to why and what and everything.
Yeah. So we are going to be talking about goats. And like cryptid goats.
Yeah. And I got inspired by, I think I was listening to another topic or watching a paranormal show, and they did it on one particular goat man or goat creature. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I should say goat man is more specific.
Or creature. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, cryptids that resemble goats.
Yeah. And there is a lot of them.
I don't know if I knew that because I will be very honest to give you props. Whenever you first suggested goats, I was like, well, that's going to kind of be terrible. Like, really? Like, goats? But then you were absolutely right, because once I started researching, there are so many, and
yeah,
some of them have some really interesting lore.
Yeah, most of the ones that I found were across the U.S., though. One of mine is not.
Oh,
but
cool.
For the most part, all of them I would find would are across the U.S.
All two of them.
No, all the areas.
Yeah, all the areas, yeah.
Or across the United States.
You're like, all of my stories are in the U.S. except for one.
And no. I said all of the stories I found.
You found? Oh, I got you. Okay. I'm sick. My brain isn't working.
Whatever.
My stories are the second story. I'm going to save the best for last. It's so interesting and so tragic, and it's just I was really surprised by it. So good topic, Chris.
All right, should we get into drinks then?
Well, yes, let's do. Oh, so I do have.
Why
to
do
say,
you look at mine first?
Because okay, y'all. So 5 hours ago, Chris is like, I need to go get my drink ready, and then it sounded like a science lab with beakers and Bunsen burners going and things clinking, and I was like, what is happening? And literally 5 hours later, like, he's finally done. So I'm really curious about this.
So do I go first?
Yes,
then?
Please.
All right. So my first story, let me explain first. I mean, I will get into what it's about, but it takes place in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
And Kentucky is known for the Kentucky Derby, obviously.
Okay, yeah.
And what is a staple drink of the Kentucky Derby?
Like a Pomodoro or something?
No.
Poop-a-poop?
mint juleps.
That was my next guess.
So I made a non-alcoholic mint julep.
Oh, that sounds
like
good.
Like, it would have bourbon in it otherwise, but I mean, it's really good. It's simple syrup, mint and lemon simple syrup with a ginger ale.
Wow. Dang, that's really good. That's much better than my rationale.
Of course.
Paid. Okay, so I decided not to get alcohol because I can't. My body will reject me. So, you get ready. So, GOAT, the current kind of acronym for it is greatest of all time. Do you know this?
There's an energy drink that but they only sell it at GNC, and I was like, I'm not going to go into GNC just to buy an energy drink.
I should have. So the GOAT is the greatest of all time. So I was like, you know what?
So you got a Bud Light.
If I'm sick, I didn't even get alcohol. Oh. Nothing. I was like, if it's the greatest of all time and I'm sick, I'm getting the... I really should have done that, but it's in your car.
Oh.
He got me Thai tea for my birthday, which is amazing. But I was like, I'm getting my favorite candy of all time because I'm sick. So my greatest of all time candy is peanut butter M&Ms. And I will be snacking. Yeah, and this was the irony of this is so funny that I do my rationale sometimes to justify getting something that tastes good. Mm-hmm. For this episode, I could have got my favorite alcoholic drink of all time. But because I'm not feeling well, I didn't even get the chance to do it.
Yeah, or you could have made Thai tea because you have like 8 months worse.
Of them. Yeah, which will last me a week.
Yeah.
So should we go into history?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know how you're going to talk about this without going into some of our stories. So.
Oh, I found a way. So goats have quite a history when it comes to culture, folklore, and mythology. The goat was actually the first farm animal to become domesticated around 8,000 BC.
The first?
Uh huh.
I didn't know that.
In the country that is now...
I thought it was the ant. I don't know.
That's not a farm animal.
Never mind. I was trying to think of something stupid.
Around 8,000 BC in the country that is now known today as Iran.
Mm-hmm.
In ancient Sumerian and Babylonian, goats were sacred, more so as it related to the gods Marduk and Ningirsu. And speaking of Babylonian culture, the scapegoat concept comes to us in form of a ritual. You see, the scapegoat is one of two kid goats. One goat would be sacrificed, while the living goat would be considered the scapegoat, which was released into the wild, carrying with it all the sins and impurities of the community.
Wow. I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I love it.
In ancient Egypt, the god Osiris sometimes appeared in the form of a goat. In Greek mythology, the god Zeus was fed the milk of the goat called Amalthea. In honor of Amalthea, the goat horn was considered a symbol of fertility and abundance. Additionally, in ancient Greece, the skin of the goat was thought to be protective and miraculous.
What, the skin?
Yeah. Ew. So to wear for like clothing and stuff.
Oh, like the fur. Never mind. Not just the skin.
Goat
skin.
Yeah.
Like, that's like Silence of the Lambs shit.
In Chinese tradition, there's a goat spirit called Yang Qing, which is the god of what is translated to the Shi Star Fan Yin. So I don't know what that means, but that's what I got off the internet.
I'm like, fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
This spirit is said to appear with a white face, horns, long beard, and traditional headdress.
Just like me.
Yeah. Yang Qing is said to protect people from wild animals and is honored during the Year of the Goat.
Oh, awesome.
Also, in some Chinese communities, goats are often associated with the god of lightning. So, kind of speaking of lightning, but actually in this case, thunder. The Norse god of thunder, Thor, is said to have a chariot that is pulled by two goats. And at night, Thor will eat the meat off the goats, careful to leave all the bones whole, then wraps the bones up only to see the goats revived in the morning so they can continue pulling his chariot.
Wow. So, yeah. He gets to have his goat and
eat it too.
It's interesting how he makes sure not to touch the bones. Like, isn't that easy? You just eat the meat and the bones are fine? Or is he like that much of a...
Ravage, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
Goats were very important, not only as it comes to worship, but also as it comes to economy and food. Goats were often used as currency, which would result in an abundance of food, obviously.
Oh, sure.
Goat's milk and meat have been a staple of the Mediterranean diet since ancient times. Not only were they used for sustenance, but the skins of the animals were also used for clothing, canteens for liquid, and in some cultures were even used to make parchment.
Oh, cool.
And then one last thing I kind of want to touch on is how the goat became to be known as evil, and more so how it became associated with Satan. In what I found, most people theorize that it was due to pagan gods such as Pan, who took form of a satyr.
Yeah.
When pagans were forced to become Christians, such creatures were looked upon as evil. To add to that, we have to look at the Jewish holiday Yom Kippur, also known as the Day of Atonement. The practice that I talked about in the scapegoat is actually the ritual that is traditionally practiced during Yom Kippur.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. You said holiday at first.
The goat that was released into the wild was supposed to represent evil, or the epitome of evil, Satan. Additionally, in the Bible, there is a mention of Jesus stating that he will separate the nations with the sheep on the right and the goats on the left, which Christians took literally. You know, as for one of the more famous goats, Baphomet, often associated with Satanism, he was not created until 1856.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Eliphaz Levi created it as an occult symbol of balance. To add clout to that, Baphomet was depicted as the devil in the in tarot cards, which Christians also claim to be evil, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah, mysticism. So according to my research, Satan is depicted as a goat because pagan religions use goat imagery. Yep. Behavior-wise, goats exemplify self-resilience and destruction.
Mm.
In herds, goats will often make sheep scatter, and for Jewish religion practice, equate goats with evil. So along with that, there's a pretty common superstition, which I found hilarious, from the Middle Ages that said that goats whispered lewd phrases to saints. It's not known where the superstition comes from, but it said that it has something to do with the way goats acted when they're in heat, which equated with lust, a very dire sin.
Of course.
And there you go. That's some kind of information and all over the place information about goats.
I'm just picturing like St. Francis walking around and the goat being like, psst, psst. And he like comes over.
Especially
and
because St. Francis is the patron saint of animals.
Yeah. And he's like, I want to rim you real bad.
Oh, God. Gross.
Oh, man. Well, that is fascinating. That's a really good history. I didn't know any of that, apparently. I love how Baphomet is so new. I thought Baphomet had probably gone back thousands of years, you know, with paganism and stuff. But anyway, so, all right. So my first story is actually pretty short. My second one is the long one, and it's really interesting. But the first one's good, too.
Okay.
I am going to be talking about what is one of, if not the most famous goatman, and this is the Goatman of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a county that he's in that I wrote down and then deleted, so I don't know what it is. So let me dive into my completely and not thorough story. When scared teenagers whisper about the Maryland Goatman, not all agree on the form he takes. Some say he was a man who kept goats and went mad after teenagers killed his flock, driven to seek revenge against any youngster.
Prince George's County.
Yes, thank you. That was it. That was what I had written down. I was like, it was like Prince Gorgie or something. But perhaps the most titillating version traces the origin of the Goatman to the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center, a sprawling USDA facility anchored by a big brick building appointed with white columns. In this version, a mad scientist is conducting experiments on a goat when something goes horribly wrong, turning him into a half-man, half-goat beast that is naturally hungry for blood.
Naturally, of course.
Of course, yeah, because all cryptids
not for hay.
Not for hay.
Or grains.
or ass crystals.
Or trash, I mean, because the goats will eat anything.
Anything. Well, that could be some Trumpers. Oh, God, there it is. He may not be as famous a cryptid as his cousins, the Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster, but the Goatman has a devoted following. He's inspired a horror movie called Deadly Detour. I want to watch it now.
Oh, I am going to look that up.
He's going to get you. He's paid lip service in the classic coming-of-age movie American Graffiti. So, y'all, especially up in the Northeast, the Goatman is actually a really, really big deal. And I'm sure that some of our listeners from up there can weigh in on that because I really didn't know anything about this. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how big that lore was in your growing up, kind of like how La Llorona was such a big part of you growing up, and I didn't even know what that was. So anyway, the stories began surfacing a long, long time ago, according to Dr. Barry Pearson, a folklorist at the University of Maryland. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was a job. Like, I'm a folklorist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would love to do that if I could all over again.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be super cool. But the stories really kick into high gear around the 50s and 60s, with a goat man having its heyday in the 70s.
Probably, is that going to be an ongoing joke?
Yes. Probably because of the dead dog. In 1971, a puppy named Ginger met a grisly end in the city of Bowie. Reporter Ivan Goldberg.
Bowie.
What?
Bowie.
Oh, Bowie. David Bowie?
No,
Bowie?
It's Bowie.
Bowie? Oh.
Yeah. I only know because Bowser from...
Mario?
No.
From that podcast that you listened to.
Yeah, yeah. I forget what it's called now. I always forget. The Untold Hour, now it's called that.
Yeah. So reporter Ivan Goldberg, is that pronounced correctly?
I'm sure.
Covered the incident for the Washington Post, writing, "Ginger, a sprightly mongrel who resembled a German shepherd, has been decapitated cleanly at the neck. The body is not to be found."
That's sad.
Locals basically pointed the finger at the goat man. One article connected the deceased dog with the goat man, saying that a group of teenage girls had heard strange noises and seen a large creature on the night the dog had disappeared. It also reported that sightings of an animal-like creature that walks on its hind legs were increasing along Fletchertown Road. Then, 1 month later, the Washington Post itself ran a national feature detailing the legend of the goat man. So that's huge. Like, that's massive. The Washington Post covering this. So since then, reports have flooded in, and they've been flooding in since. Tons of stories. Most people report that the goat man is about 6 feet tall, walks on 2 feet, and is hairy. Sounds kind of hot. People also report that it makes a high-pitched sound like a squeal.
That's not what I would expect.
I know, yeah.
Like, it's, you like, see him. It's like Daryl Hannah from Splash.
What?
You've never seen that movie?
No.
Where she's a mermaid?
Oh, no.
And they tell her, speak in your language, and she makes this noise and all the TVs explode.
Okay, that's how Goatman talks. According to tons of reports and sightings, the Maryland's infamous Goatman allegedly does all the things that you would expect a deranged half-Goatman to do. Kill teenagers, eat dogs. This one says scream like a goat, but that sounds very different. But the most interesting / terrifying aspect is just how deep the lore goes and how many people really believe.
Mm-hmm.
So to finish off, I'm going to share this little story. Now, remember how at the beginning I talked about the rumors about how the goat man was maybe a genetic experiment gone wrong at that USDA facility? Well, this rumor was so widely believed that the USDA was forced at one point to publicly deny accidentally creating the beast, yes, in their Beltsville Agricultural Research Center. So they literally,
so like a government agency, had to get involved.
They like had to get up in front of the podium and be like, contrary to popular belief, there is no goat man. We did not create him. So that's why, that's how widely people believe that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's wild. So yeah, so that is the goat man of Maryland.
Of Bowie, Maryland.
Of Bowie, Maryland.
All right. So for my first story, I am talking about the legend out of Louisville, Kentucky, as I said earlier. I'm talking about what is known locally as the Pope Lick Monster, or the Goat Man of Pope Lick Trestle.
And you've mentioned the Pope Lick Monster so many times.
Yeah.
And I can't believe it hasn't been covered yet.
Yeah. The origins of this story were very hard to find, but I pieced together what I could. So in the Fisherville area of Louisville, Kentucky, lies a very busy rural trestle bridge for the Northern Suffolk Railway. That's a lot of
all. That's a lot of all.
That runs over Pope Lick Creek. It is said that beneath the bridge resides the Pope Lick Monster, who is said to be part man, part goat, and in some stories, some cases, they say part sheep. It is said to have powerful fur-covered goat legs.
Powerful.
White-colored skin, a sort of pointed nose, wide-set eyes, and horns protruding from its forehead. Some have said the creature could run up to 60 miles per hour and would chase away cars trying to pass under the trestles late at night.
Wow. I love how the description of the goat man is a goat.
Yeah.
Like they say, like, it's, you would not believe this, but he has horns growing out of his head. But 60 miles an hour, that's fast.
For a goat, yeah.
It yeah.
It was even said that if you're crossing the trestles late at night and a train came around the bend, the goat man would appear on the other side, so you would have to make a choice of either being hit by the train, jumping, or encountering the goat man himself.
What? It's like Sophie's Choice.
Yeah.
Okay, which would you do?
I don't know. That's just insane.
What? If you jump off, was there water? Like, you could theoretically land in water and live?
I don't
live?
Know. It's a creek. It's a creek.
Okay.
So I don't know how deep the water is.
Interesting.
So, and according to one account, the tale came years ago as a result of a farmer who supposedly tortured and killed goats in the name of Satan after signing away his soul to him.
Wow.
After giving up his soul, it was said he was transformed into the creature that now lives under the bridge and who seeks out revenge on local citizens. Another legend goes that a farmer became, let's just say, a little too friendly with his goats, which resulted in the half man, half goat.
Oh my God.
And the most thorough legend I found goes like this. Sometime in the 1800s, it was said there was a strange wild animal loose in the Canadian wilderness, which came to the attention of a circus owner called Silas Garner. Silas offered a large reward to capture the monster. After finally being caught, Silas displayed the monster in his freak show, taking it across the country for everyone to see. Well, one night, while passing through Louisville, lightning struck, causing the train to derail.
Wow.
The accident would leave only one survivor, the Popelik monster, who would become the Popelik monster.
Wow. Yeah.
Since that time, the creature has been seeking revenge for all the mistreatment it encountered at the circus.
Uh-huh.
In some stories, the Popelik monster is said to use hypnosis or be able to mimic voices in order to lure in people who may be trespassing on the train tracks.
Wow.
With his hope that they will meet their death by a passing train.
Damn.
Other stories have said that the goatman will jump from the trestle onto the roofs of cars passing by. That would be fucking scary.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Some stories have claimed that the creature will attack with an axe, which I thought is funny. I was like, does it get in its little hooves?
Yeah, it slips it in the hoof.
Well, I guess the upper half is half man, so I guess it has hands.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Oh, so does it have a human penis or a goat penis?
I don't know.
Okay, well, we need to know this.
Some have said that the appearance of the creature is so unsettling that it will drive people to jump off the bridge. The Popelik monster has become so famous that paranormal investigators and thrill seekers have made their way to Louisville. The hunt for the monster was further elevated by a 1988 film called The Legend of the Popelik Monster. And upon its release, officials were scared that the film would encourage people to try to make their way to the trestle. So because of that, at the time that the movie came out, a statement was issued prior warning people of the dangers of the trestle, as well as warning people that anyone caught going there would be charged for trespassing.
Wow.
And still, a number of people have ignored the warning, leading to the injury or deaths. There's have been tons of deaths since the 80s.
Yeah. Really? People trying to go there and see? Wow, that's so...
And I don't know if it's necessarily because to go see them, but there's been a lot of deaths that have happened there.
But that's interesting. If the goatman's trying to lure you there to get hit by a train, even if he doesn't exist, he's still winning. He's still working.
It's working.
His motive is working. Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. Ooh, that's a believer right there.
Yeah.
You
can
just quote
many
that.
Many people have thought the train tracks are out of service due to their appearance, which is definitely not the case.
Apparently.
The land surrounding Popelik Trestle was eventually bought, and now there are walking paths that go underneath the trestle, though I probably wouldn't recommend walking there at night.
Right.
So what has been the cause of so many deaths and injuries in the area? Could it be an accident, sheer stupidity, or are these people lured there by the cries of the Popelik monster itself? We may just never know.
Wow, that's awesome. I love the subtle dig at Louisville. I don't know if you realized it. We were like, all you said was like, some people are so, like, intuit paranormal researchers will actually go to Louisville.
Oh.
And that's all you said.
I didn't even realize that.
The city is such a shithole that people actually go there. That's how much they like the monster.
I've never been to Kentucky, so.
No, and I think Louisville, from what I've heard, is actually beautiful, so.
Well, Mitch McConnell's from there, so there's that.
Oh, there is that, yeah. Fuck Louisville. Mm-hmm. No, that's awesome. Good story.
Hey everyone, my name is Eddie, producer, legend, and host of My Crunchy Podcast over on the Podmoth Media Network. If you're looking for something chaotic, somewhat messy, and very incomprehensible, then go stream My Crunchy Podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So stop searching and start listening to all your new faves from the Podmoth Media Network team now.
Interestingly enough, my next story is also about a bridge, but the
story... Oh, I thought you were going to say about a goat. I'm about like, really?
It's about a goat, but it's the lore and everything is very different. This is so interesting. I'm so glad that you found this and mentioned it to me. I'm going to be talking about the Goatman Bridge in Texas. Mm-hmm. Now, whenever I heard this, I was like, well, this is going to be in some BFE place, right? Because I've never heard of it. Well, y'all, this is right by Denton, Texas.
Yeah.
My best friend in Texas, who I stay with every time I visit, lives right next to Denton. Like, Denton is the city that's closest to where he lives.
Yeah.
So I literally have stayed for weeks at a time a few miles from this bridge and didn't even know it was a thing.
Well, next time you go, you just got to go and take pictures.
Yeah. I want to. So let's begin. There are many Denton ghosts that have haunted the fair city over the years, but a few stand out as truly terrifying. One of the most famous local ghost stories, and one of the more horrifying, is the legend of Goatman's Bridge. Mm-hmm. And so what I like about this is cryptid slash ghost kind of mixed together. So a little history of the area. about 3.5 miles from the present day town of Corinth, which is right by where my friend lives in Denton County, Texas, once stood the small village of Alton, which for a decade served as the Denton County seat. The town didn't last long, though, because the county seat was soon moved to nearby Denton. Years later, in 1884, long after Alton had died, an iron through truss bridge was built over Hickory Creek on Copper Canyon Road, south of the old town site. Mm-hmm. The 145-foot-long bridge would serve area travelers for more than a century. Called the Old Alton Bridge, or sometimes the Argyle Bridge, it's best known as Goatman's Bridge.
Argyle Bridge.
Yeah. And if you look at the pattern that that's the thing, why. Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, it kind of makes sense.
At least it's not the Paisley Bridge.
It's all these. it's a roller coaster. And everyone just dies when they like go on it. I'm going to talk about why it's called the Goatman's Bridge. This story is sad and racist, and it pisses me off.
Well, it is Texans.
So. It is Texans. And the lore dates back to like the early 1900s.
Oh,
so
there you go.
Yeah. According to the urban legend, an African-American entrepreneur named Oscar Washburn and his family tended a farmstead goat herd near the bridge that was renowned for quality meat, milk, cheeses, and hides. Mm-hmm. When the popular businessman proudly hung a sign on the old Alton Bridge directing, quote-unquote, this way to the goat man, it infuriated local KKK members, right? Because they hated seeing a successful African American. So this was during the late 1930s, like during the Depression. And so they're all struggling. And this African American is like, I'm selling quality products and I'm doing okay, which is great, but it pissed them off. So they plotted something awful. On a dark night in August 1938, a lynch mob of Kluxers stormed Washburn's shack and dragged the screaming goat man to a noose waiting on the bridge. There, they tightened the rope around the begging Oscar's neck and then mercilessly threw him over the side. But when the night riders stumbled down to the dark river's edge to confirm their murder, you know, they were shocked to find that the noose was empty, the water was undisturbed, there was no body, no nothing at all. The panicked Klansmen frantically searched the area unsuccessfully before rushing to Washburn's shanty, setting it afire with the Goatman's family shrieking inside, and they all died. They killed the entire family.
Yeah, fuck the KKK, and if you think any different, you are listening to the wrong podcast.
Exactly. I get out of here. If you're thinking of lore, like this story is likely probably not true, but something like this has happened. I guarantee it.
I wouldn't take it. Yeah.
No, it's not even surprising to hear something like this. That's the thing. So that's why it's like shit like this has happened. So fuck y'all.
I'm sure it's based on a true story.
Oh, yeah. It very well could be. So, but they say now with all this shit going on that Washburn's vengeful spirit has haunted the old Alton Bridge ever since.
Yeah.
Who can blame him? So what goes on there? Local legend says if you knock on the steel bridge 3 times at midnight or honk your horn 3 times in summons, then you dare a visitation from the vengeful goat man. Mm-hmm. You know what worked? When you smell the stench of decaying flesh.
Gross.
That means the goat man is near. So, yee! So didn't this sound kind of like summoning Seaman, which I can't say the name? Like you have to knock on the bridge
Candyman,
like 3 times. Stop it!
Or Bloody Mary.
You knock 3 times and it's supposed to happen. After knocking on the bridge, numerous reports tell of unholy glowing red eyes that burn from the darkness, eerie glimpses of a large, snarling, goat-headed man-beast stomping in the wooded shadows.
And aside, why are always red eyes associated with evil?
That's true.
Why not pink or green or...
Yeah, or blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, red is always evil. It's really strange. I think it goes
I guess because it's more unnatural than any of those other colors, maybe?
I don't know if, like, whenever you see the color, it's more... Like, your brain interprets it as not peaceful.
Think about the reflection, too. Like, in lights... The eyes reflect almost red, so that could be
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Like when you, especially when you see a cat or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. That's probably it. Yeah. So they say that some people also see a frightening apparition of a maniacal satyr carrying the heads of goats or humans in his hands.
I just got the chills. That's fucking scary.
Isn't that wild? Like, you're just walking around.
No, thank you.
He's selling them. The goat man himself is even said to appear, and he wants justice. According to lore, the Goatman spirits away those with the bloodlines of Klansmen or slave owners into the woods for his terrible revenge.
So he's not that bad of a person, you're saying?
Yeah, so he's just, you know, getting getting revenge. Yeah. So I'm like, ugh. According to legend, if you visit on Halloween and honk your car horn twice, well, you're pretty much dead. No, I was so, this is so anticlimactic because I read that and it said you'd see the goat man's red eyes. And I'm like, what? You already said that like two paragraphs before.
One horn for each eye.
I was like, I was expecting Halloween for something huge to happen. And it's like, you might see the same thing that you would on any other night when you honk your horns. So I had to throw that in because
that's random.
I'm like,
well, not
goat
random,
man.
But
yeah, it's like, it's kind of anticlimactic. Goat man, the Halloween special. But terrifying encounters and reported vanishings have been so frequent as to warrant numerous investigations by paranormal groups. Paranormal groups. And
oh
now, I usually don't have stories, but I found a Reddit story of a person who posted his encounter information along with a picture that we are going to share. And this story is from Melissa McCobb. Thank you, Melissa. She says, recently I visited a place near my town that has a lot of paranormal activity. The actual name of the bridge is Old Dalton Bridge and is located in Denton. I had heard stories from classmates from high school about how creepy it was, but it wasn't until 2 or 3 days ago that I visited it for myself. The first night I was there, my brother and a friend of mine met up with a group of ghost hunters called Haunted Texas Paranormal Group, in quotes, or something like that. And they told us the story of how the bridge came to be known. And that's the lore that I kind of skipped
that
over.
The name is so generic.
It's so generic, right? And they even just
Acme
made it up.
Ghost hunting.
That's it. While we were there, the group of ghost hunters decided to show us just how serious it was. They grabbed a flashlight and placed it in the spot where Oscar Washburn was supposedly lynched and asked him if he could show us his presence by turning off the flashlight. To my amazement, the flashlight snapped off. Then a ghost hunter asked Washburn if he was angry at the people who had murdered him and if he thought they should be brought back to justice. Without hesitation, the flashlight came on brighter than before.
Of course.
Yeah. Last night, I was back at the bridge and decided to go unprepared with my own flashlights and camera. It was raining, so our stay wasn't for very long, but I managed to capture something odd in one of the pictures. There seems to be some sort of thick mist on the right corner of the picture. At first, I thought it was my breath, but it wasn't that cold outside, and even if it had been, the wind would have carried it out, so it shouldn't have been so dense. Any thoughts on what this is? So we're going to post
halitosis.
A picture. And there's like flecks of rot in it, like teeth. So at first I was like, what? But I looked at the picture and she's right. The mist that you see in there is super thick. Like it's not breath. Like it looks like almost like a thick cloud just appeared right there. So it's actually kind of cool. And that's why I like this story, because I think that this person really did this stuff and they believe that it's true. And so that's why we'll post it. And that is the story of the Goatman Bridge in Texas.
Yeah. Well, for my second story, I am telling the story about a creature that comes from the ancient Mayan people from Mesoamerica, talking about Huaychivo. Huaychivo is a legend specific to the Yucatan Peninsula. The name is a combination of both Spanish and Yucatec Mayan, which translates into witch goat. Sometimes it's also called Chivo Brujo, which is Spanish for the same thing. Huaychivo is a shapeshifter said in many stories to be able to transform into half man, half goat. Although in other legends, it can transform to various other animals. Huaychivo is said to stand and walk upright at anywhere between 4 and 6 feet. It is covered with thick black hair, has a human torso, hoven legs, a goat head, and always has red eyes. The creature has been blamed for many mysterious deaths in the Yucatan area. Huaychivo is said to only come out at night, usually after midnight, and never seen during the day. In one origin story, it is said that somewhere in the Yucatan, in a village, crops were being distributed from the fields. One man, Don Porfirio, for some reason did not get his share of the crops and as a result had a lot of resentment towards the other people in his village. Little did the people of the village know that Don Porfirio had a deep, dark secret. It was said that on that night he transformed into a huge and violent animal, and if you crossed his path, you wouldn't live to tell. That night he prepared by first giving his wife a drink laced with a sedative to make her sleep. After he was sure his wife was asleep, Don Porfirio began a ritual in which he murmured some words while spinning backwards. after the ritual was performed, it was
spinning backwards. How do you do that?
I don't know. That's
like,
what it said.
I was turning one way and another. And I was like, wait.
Yeah, I thought that's that weird. Too. I was like, I don't know, maybe counterclockwise instead of clockwise?
Like, could maybe. Be it. Or doing backwards somersaults.
After the ritual was performed, it was said he was able to remove his head as part of the transformation.
Whoa.
So he'd pop off his head afterwards.
Shit.
Following his transformation, Don Porfirio went into the village and destroyed the fields and homes of the other villagers. After he is done with his path of destruction, he returned home, pretending as if nothing happened. Upon waking, the villagers saw the mess that was caused and became frightened. As a result, they called in a healer from a nearby town to figure out what was happening. After some of the investigation, the healer said that it was an envious person that had caused the rampage.
No, that is some brilliant deducing.
The villagers immediately suspected Don Porfirio due to him not receiving any crops. Unable to confront him directly, the villagers went to his wife, who decided to find out what was going on.
Why couldn't they confront him directly?
It wasn't really clear. I don't know if he is. I don't know. Huh. I honestly don't know. That night, after Don Porfirio gave his wife the prepared drink, she tricked him by only pretending to drink at this time. She then pretended to go to sleep. In her fake slumber, she was able to observe the ritual that Don Porfirio was performing and, of course, see the horrible transformation.
Wow. That he made.
The next day, the wife went to a local priest and told him what she had witnessed. The priest then provided her with some steps that she would follow exactly to the T.
Run.
Yeah.
Step one, get out.
So later that night, she again pretended to drink her drink and go to sleep. This time with Don Porfirio, when he had transformed and left the house, she followed the priest's steps, boiling water with lime, and then spread salt circle around her husband's now detached head.
Of course. Oh, he leaves the head behind.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This whole
probably
time.
Probably because the goat head pops out, maybe?
Oh, I was like, yeah. What? How could he see?
Yeah.
If he leaves the head behind.
Yeah.
Okay. At first, I was
wondering. He leaves his human head behind.
So. That makes more sense. I was wondering before, like, why did the head coming off even matter? Like, does it even play into the story? But it does.
So then the salt circle, in this way, he would be able to transform back into his human self. After performing her own ritual, the wife collected her things and left him for good, you know.
Good for her.
When Don Porfirio returned home, he found that he was unable to touch his detached head due to the ritual his wife performed. He also found that the closer he got to the head, the more his own pain intensified.
Wow.
Without being able to return to his normal body, Don Porfirio ran out of the home, cursing his wife. It is said that
and running into lots of things without his head.
It is said that to this day his cries of pain and curses can still be heard.
Wow.
In a more modern take on the story, there is a young, handsome, intelligent man who lives in Merida. This man was said to be a hard worker and very ambitious, but came from a poor family. He had caught the eye of a local girl who came from a rich family, and although she found him attractive, she said she couldn't marry him due to social class.
Mm.
This angered the young man, so he went out of the jungle to yell out his friend's frustrations and anger. In his rage, he called out on the devil, who appeared and asked how he could help the man. The man told the devil he would sell his soul if he was able to spend the rest of his life with a young girl. The devil granted the man's wish by turning him into a goat.
Oh.
The man protested, but the devil told him that if all he wished for was to be around the girl for the rest of his life, there
you
go.
Technically, this accomplishes it.
Yeah, he said that now that the boy was a goat, he would be able to join the woman's goat herd on her family's farm, where he could spend the rest of his days in the presence of her.
All right.
With that, the devil disappeared, leaving the goat man angry. It is said to this day, the goat man runs around the night killing small animals in fits of rage, cursed to forever live out his life as a goat. I guess the moral of that story is that if you're going to make a deal with the devil, be more specific. And there you have it, White Chivo, the goat sorcerer of Yucatan.
Awesome. Ooh, wow, that was awesome. Yeah. That's so cool.
I like that one because it had like the old origin story and like a more modern take of it. You know?
I love it. And both of them are really, really cool. That's neat. All right. So believer skeptic.
Yeah.
Yay. So I'm actually going to be focusing my debunk on the Goatman's Bridge in Texas, because that to me was my more specific story.
Yeah.
So I have kind of two little pieces here. So after digging around, I found that the bridge doesn't even allow for cars anymore. So there's that thing about honk your horn three times. It continued to be used for cars until 2001, when it was replaced with a concrete and steel bridge and a new road, which straightened out a sharp curve. The bridge was listed on the National Register of Historic Places and closed to vehicle traffic in 2001.
Wow.
So it's only open to pedestrians. So the very least, all of those stories. Then I found some about people honking their horn, Those
you
are
can drug
all...
your bike and ring your bell,
ding ding, or the her he
yeah,
her he, and do that three times. Okay, that I want to see.
That'd be hilarious.
That'd be so fun. So at least the stories, then a lot of them are either they're old or they're lies, mm-hmm. right? But I also put together...
Oh, they're old lies.
They're old lies, yes. But I also put together my own little debunk.
Okay.
And so I'm happy with this. After digging further, I found that before the new bridge was built, motorists were required to honk their horns on the one-lane bridge to let other travelers know they were coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's what led to honking your horns, summoning the goat man. Because imagine, it's the middle of the night, mm-hmm. you approach this bridge and you're going to go across it, and then from the other side, in the middle of the night, you hear honking. Like, that alone would be so scary.
Yeah.
And it's just the other person honking to come.
Yeah.
But those are the kind of creepy, weird things that spawn into urban legends, right?
Because it's a coincidence, for lack of a better
yeah.
term. You
yeah.
know, or just happenstance.
And I can see some kids being, like, out there in the middle of the night and hearing a horn from the other side and inventing this tale because they're scared.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think kind of led up to that. And so I think that's kind of one of the more interesting pieces that is more unique to this as well.
Yeah.
So that's what I got.
Oh, that was a short debunk.
It was a short one, yeah.
Not that was bad, but like...
Yeah, yeah, it was my two pieces. Because this is the cryptid kind of stuff yeah. that we've talked about a lot. So I want it to be like, I want to find something that is specific to this.
Yeah.
And if people want to talk about cautionary tales and all that, they can yeah. go back and listen to other episodes.
Which is a nice segue, because
yay.
This has to be one of the harder believers for me to come up with.
No, what do you mean?
Yeah. If anything, I would say ghosts are just guilty by association, you know.
Ghosts or ghosts?
Goat.
Oh,
goats.
Yeah. I agree.
I
you said ghosts.
Oh, ghosts.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah. I'll bring up here a lot of what I said in history, kind of to just reiterate, but goats got a bad name due to Christianity and puritanical beliefs. Goats are depicted in many cultures and pagan beliefs since pretty much the dawn of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? In some cases, goats were worshipped as gods, or goats were sacrificed to certain gods. For example, we have the god Dionysus, the Greek god, Bacchus in Roman mythology, who was the god of wine, fertility, theater, religious ecstasy, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
And the ancient Greeks in particular also associated the god with violent and unpredictable behavior. And that being said, the goats were actually sacrificed to Dionysus.
Oh, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
On top of that, male goats can be hypersexual, and when committed to a sexual conquest, they will do whatever it takes to get what they want.
I think we all know people like that.
Yeah. So when Christianity came about, all these attributes essentially met the evil checklist, you know, sex, wine, breaking of the Ten Commandments.
That's very true.
Yeah. The strange thing is that goats, I keep on doing that. The strange thing is that goats really didn't become associated with evil until at least the last 100 years or so.
Interesting.
Yeah. Already ingrained in the minds of Christians and further supported by certain interpretations of the Bible, this association of evil was further emphasized by the founding of the Church of Satan in the 1960s.
Ah.
And we also can't forget the impact that popular culture has made on further perpetuating the stereotype. I mean, I will be forever scarred by the goat figure I saw in the movie Altered States as a kid. If you don't know what I mean, look it up.
Okay, I will.
And we can't forget Black Phillip from David Edgar's The Witch, or The Vivitch, if you want to be, from a few years ago. I could go on with more examples, but it is pretty easy to see as to why goats are considered evil.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that people have seen something in their goatman encounters. It just... this mindset of the goat stereotype that leads many to interpret their fears into these goat figures.
Yeah.
Who knows, though? Maybe somewhere down the line, we will find that these creatures are real and true, or that a real and true goat man will be discovered.
Cool. Yeah. Wow. That was super interesting. I could have used some of that for a more thorough debunk, maybe.
Well, it was hard. I
think that's like really, that shows why people believe in this. And I think that's really interesting. That's
yeah.
super cool. I love it. So do we have a creep of the week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have an email from listener Sarah in response to our hypnosis episode.
Oh, that's right.
She says, "Hey y'all, it's me, Sarah, again." So I am involved in Young People of Alcoholics Anonymous. Since it's my first name, I'm happy to share that. Thank you. We have conferences in each state every year pre-pandemic, and they are bangers.
Yeah, good for you.
So one
That's awesome.
We scheduled a hypnotist to come out and do a show. I was one of maybe 10 people that volunteered to sit in the chairs on stage. I didn't really think anything was going to happen, but I am open-minded and wanted to try. I chose in the beginning, as he led us through the relaxation exercise, that I was going to let go of control and really commit to his directions. I felt myself sinking and slumping in the chair. I was fully conscious and found it entertaining that it was working. He tapped us on the shoulder as he went down the line, and most of us dropped our heads onto the shoulder of the person beside us, as he had directed us to do. I don't remember much about what happened to everyone else, but he told me that when I woke up, I would be disgusted by him. I believe because of my childhood trauma crap, being disgusted equated to terror for me, and I automatically turned into like a 5-year-old hiding my face and curling up in my chair.
Wow.
I was horrified. On the verge of tears, he put me back to sleep and said this time when I woke up, I wouldn't be scared anymore, but I still was.
Oh.
He tried again, except this time I would be so happy to see him. It worked.
Oh, good. Okay.
I opened my eyes and told him he was a precious redneck Santa Claus. he had on cowboy boots and a hat.
That is amazing.
My partner at the time said he thought I was faking it, but when he saw how scared I was, he knew I wasn't. It was pretty disturbing, but also super interesting. It felt like the deepest meditation I have ever done, and I would totally do it again. Thanks, and bye.
Bye.
Sarah.
Sarah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I mentioned my little story, but my sister also did something like that. Mm-hmm. And we have video, and I believe it was real because she did some shit. Yeah. But I didn't know that from what Sarah said about how it felt wonderful, like meditation. I'm glad, because it's not like they're being exploited or taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So that actually is really interesting, and I was glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Ooh, I kind of want to be hypnotized just to see what I can heal.
Well,
do.
Now that things are opening up, we could probably go to like a hypnotist show. Like,
yeah.
We'll do a group activity.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. Well, cool. Thank you for the story.
Yeah. And thank you everybody for listening. As always, you can find us everywhere you find your podcasts. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, by searching BSPodPHX. If you have stories like Sarah's, send them our way. We can be reached at BSPodPHX@gmail.com. And one last thing that I've got to say, I rarely ask for anything or anything of that nature, but in the last year, I've had quite a personal journey when it comes to my health and everything of that nature. So I've set a lot of goals, and my most recent goal is I decided to run a half marathon before my next birthday.
Yay, 50th birthday.
Whatever, which I have never done in my life. So this is kind of a huge deal. So I've signed up for a half marathon that I'll be running in January. And with that, they are St. Jude's Cancer Research for Children Hospital is sponsoring me. And in return, I just have to raise $500. So if anybody feels inclined to do so, there will be a link in our show notes where you can do that. And I would greatly appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely go on there myself and give some money. That's awesome. Thank you, Chris. Mm-hmm. And then my books, as always, The Gay Teen's Guide to Defeating a Siren, are all available on Amazon. Combine the whole trilogy there, and I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that was a crazy episode.
That was great. Was great. It was such a pleasant surprise, which are, that's my favorite things.
But it also leaves me wanting more.
Yeah, I really could see this becoming, and just like a lot of our recent episodes, becoming another episode.
Yeah, like each one of these stories could be their own episode.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I am going to go home and go to bed.
To goat home?
To goat home.
Not until you edit.
Oh, we got to edit. Well done, though. So have a wonderful time with whatever you're doing. I'm going to take medicine and bye.
See you again next time.